What if the biggest barrier to your next personal best isn't actually your muscles, but maybe it's your mind? Today, we're kind of challenging a common assumption that peak physical performance is all about physical training. We're going to dive deep into some really groundbreaking research. It reveals how something called mental fatigue, sort of a silent performance killer, can subtly sabotage your training, making even, lightweights feel way heavier. Our deep dive today looks at a fascinating study from the International Journal of Sports Physiology and Performance, and we're also pulling insights from an article on the mind-body link in elite performance. These sources really unpack something that affects athletes, coaches, and interestingly, even parents of athletes, often without anyone realizing just how big the impact is.
That's exactly right. We're talking about mental fatigue. It's technically a psychobiological state caused by demanding cognitive tasks. And the key thing is how profoundly it impacts physical performance. What's really fascinating here is that the effects, well, they aren't always what you'd expect. Our mission today is to uncover how this cognitive load truly impacts your body and, crucially, what you can actually do about it to gain that competitive edge.
Okay, let's unpack this a bit. When we think of fatigue, usually, you imagine burning muscles, maybe lactic acid, a pounding heart, that typical physical exhaustion. Mm-hmm. But mental fatigue sounds like it's, well, a completely different beast.
It really is. The research defines mental fatigue, or MF, as the state of subjective tiredness, like feeling drained or lacking energy. And it's paired with impaired cognitive function, all caused by demanding mental tasks. What's really crucial to grasp is that studies consistently show these physical performance declines due to MF. They often happen without any changes in traditional physiological markers. Things like your oxygen consumption, heart rate, blood lactate, those might look totally normal.
Wow. Okay, so if my heart rate is fine, lactate's not building up. What is happening then? How does it actually show up if my body isn't, physically giving out in the usual sense?
Yeah, it's just as a central effect, meaning the fatigue isn't primarily in your muscles, it's originating more from your brain. Specifically, it changes how your brain perceives the effort involved. Your rating of perceived exertion, or RPE, goes up. So the same physical task just feels significantly harder, even if technically your muscles could still perform.
Right, the RPE. So it feels harder.
Exactly. Which raises a really important question, especially for athletes, coaches, parents watching young athletes push themselves. If the physical input hasn't changed, but how hard it feels has, how does that influence performance, especially when you're trying to break limits?
So the big question then is, how does this mental fatigue actually play out in real athletic situations? Let's start with the first scenario the researchers looked at. What happens when you're already mentally drained before you even, say, pick up a weight?
Okay, so in this study, one group performed a pretty demanding 90-minute cognitive task first. It's called AXCPT. Basically, it's a test designed to really tax your focus and mental energy. They did this before starting leg extension exercises, and this was compared to a control condition where participants just watched neutral videos for that same 90 minutes, something relaxing.
And here's where it gets really interesting, I thought. After that 90-minute mental workout, participants reported a significant increase in their RPE during the weightlifting. They judged the exact same weight to be anywhere from 7% to, get this, 15% heavier than when they weren't mentally fatigued.
15%.
Yeah. Imagine you're aiming for a PR and suddenly the bar feels 15% heavier just because you were, stressed from work or studying beforehand. That's a huge tangible impact.
It absolutely is. And this confirms that an isolated cognitive task just on its own can induce mental fatigue. It also altered their mood. They reported more anger, fatigue, boredom, less vigor. And it reduced mental alertness, too, measured by slower reaction times. And like you said, significantly increased the perception of effort during the weightlifting, even for relatively light loads held for just a few seconds. But importantly, their actual muscle activity, the EMG readings.
The electrical signals in the muscles?
Exactly. Those didn't differ between the groups, which really highlights that this is a central effect happening in the brain, not a peripheral one in the muscles themselves.
Okay, that makes sense. Now let's look at something maybe even more common, especially with athletes during training or coaches managing sessions or parents watching practice. What about mental tasks that are intermixed with physical training? Stuff you might do during warm-ups or even rest breaks between sets.
Right. This is scenario two. The researchers had participants do various cognitive tasks, things like the flanker test, go-no-go, or that AXDPT again, but this time during their cycling warm-up. And also during the 2-minute rests between sets and the 5-minute rest between different exercises in a resistance training session, again, compared to a control group just watching neutral videos during those same periods.
That's a clever setup. Yeah. So they're basically doing mental reps between their physical ones. They're not just resting physically. Their brains are still working hard. What did that do? How did that affect how hard the workout felt? And, you know, did it actually hurt their performance?
Well, the results were pretty compelling. This intermixed mental and physical loading led to a 22% higher sessional RPE for the entire resistance training session.
22% higher.
Wow.
Yeah. They perceived the whole session as much, much harder. But again, despite feeling much harder, there were no reported differences in the actual physical demand, like weights lifted or reps completed, in the resistance part itself. This increased mental workload and the resulting fatigue was also clearly reflected in slower reaction times on vigilance tests they did afterwards. Their brains were measurably slower.
Okay, so it felt way harder. The reaction time slowed down. But then came the actual endurance test, right? A 20-minute cycling time trial straight after that resistance training. Did this mental load, this higher perceived effort, actually translate into a measurable drop in physical performance when they really had to push?
This is where it really hits home, yes. The group that had the intermixed cognitive tasks, they produced less power output throughout that entire 20-minute time trial, and consequently, they cycled a shorter distance overall. It worked out to about a 5% impairment in their cycling performance.
A 5% drop. That could easily be the difference between winning and losing, or hitting a goal time or not.
Absolutely. And right. Crucially, just like in the first part of the study, their heart rate and blood lactate levels remained unchanged between the groups. It further solidifies this idea that the performance drop was really driven by that central mental fatigue, not physical exhaustion in the traditional sense. It was the brain putting the brakes on, essentially.
So, okay, let's tie this all together. What does this really mean for you if you're listening? Whether you're an athlete trying to find that extra edge, or maybe a coach designing training plans, or even a parent supporting a young competitor.
Well, if we think about the bigger picture, particularly in competitive sports, even a tiny edge, like 1%, can make a huge difference. A 5% drop, like we saw in the cycling test, that's massive. Mental fatigue directly compromises things critical under pressure, your decision-making speed, your reaction time, your focus. Think about that crucial moment in a game or race.
Yeah, absolutely. And the sources we looked at highlight some common culprits, things we probably all do, like intense coach briefings right before a game, or dealing with work stress, or social media.
Yeah.
That article on the MindBody link specifically calls out scrolling TikTok between sets, or, you know, playing mobile games right before you compete as unknowingly sabotaging your performance.
It does. So that quick scroll you do on your phone, thinking it's a mental break, it might actually be the opposite.
Right. You might be adding more cognitive load, not reducing it. It's kind of like, I don't know, checking work emails between your quad sets. Probably not helping recovery.
Exactly. And this raises a really important question for coaches and athletes.
Yeah.
Are your rest periods truly for recovery? Or are they inadvertently adding to cognitive load? Are you diminishing the quality of your physical training without even realizing it and getting no physical benefit from that rest? It really forces us to rethink what rest means. It's not just about muscles. It's about giving the brain a genuine break, too.
That's a great point.
And for parents, this offers valuable insight. Think about how academic pressure or maybe too much screen time before practice or a game might be subtly but significantly impacting your child's performance on the field or court. It's about looking at their whole day.
Okay, so given this pretty surprising impact of mental fatigue, what can actually be done? Is the answer just to, you know, avoid all thinking before or during training? Which sounds, well, pretty unrealistic in today's world.
Yeah, not exactly feasible. It's less about complete avoidance and more about strategic management, and maybe even training for it. The sources discuss something that could be a real game changer, cognitive performance training, specifically something called brain endurance training, or BT.
Brain endurance training.
Right.
Okay, so like just as you train your body to handle more physical stress, you can actually train your brain to handle more mental stress and still perform well. Is that the idea?
That's exactly the idea. BT basically aims to systematically overload specific brain areas involved in perceiving effort and fatigue. You're essentially building resilience in those neural pathways. It's about conditioning the brain to withstand more mental load, maintain focus, keep reaction time sharp, and perform optimally even when things get mentally tough, like in high-stakes moments. You really are training the mind like you train your muscles.
That's fascinating. So this implies that athletes who proactively manage their mental fatigue, maybe by being mindful of screen time, and actively train their cognitive capacity with something like BEAT, they're likely to outlast and outperform those who ignore the mental side.
It certainly suggests that.
The practical advice seems pretty clear then for everyone involved in sports athletes, coaches, parents. Reduce exposure to those mentally draining activities, especially things like smartphone scrolling, right before and during training or competitions. Mm. And maybe look into brain endurance training as a more long-term solution to build that mental resilience. So we've really unpacked how mental fatigue, even if it doesn't change your heart rate or muscle activity directly, can make your physical efforts feel harder and actually diminish your performance. It's a central effect driven by the brain's perception.
Exactly. And we've seen that mixing mental tasks with physical training seems particularly potent in increasing that perceived effort and hurting subsequent endurance. But the really exciting takeaway, I think, is that your brain isn't just passively affected by this. It can be actively trained. You can build resilience against this type of fatigue.
Yeah. So for all you athletes, coaches, and parents listening, this deep dive really offers a powerful insight. The path to elite performance isn't just about the body. It's also about understanding and leveraging the incredible and sometimes really surprising power of the mind. So maybe as you plan your next training session or prepare for your next competition, just consider this. If you could potentially gain a 5% edge just by thinking smarter about how you prepare mentally, what true cognitive rest looks like, and maybe even how you train your brain, what could that unlock for you?